This is Ozarks at Large. The state's budget surplus is approaching the $1 billion threshold. This week, Roby Brock, with our partner Talk Business and Politics, asked John Brummett, political columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette, what that record surplus might mean for Arkansas.
Well, first of all, I need to confess, when I saw that news release last week in which the governor claimed a record surplus of $980 million, I had a little knee-jerk reaction, and I challenged it. I said, Mike Huckabee left Mike Beebe a $1 billion surplus once that enabled Beebe to do all the school facilities ordered by the Lakeview case out of the surplus. And I was told, one, that was $850 billion, you're rounding it up, and two, that was a two accumulation over a fiscal year. This is I was somewhat embarrassed. This is $980 million in 11 months. So this is like Secretariat at the Belmont in 1972, winning by 68 links. That's how far ahead, how distant this is as a record. My take is we're going to cut income taxes in Arkansas anyway because we're under Republican control and that's what they do. And Ace Hutchinson has been incrementally, steadily cutting income taxes during his governorship. It's actually, I'm going to say something offensive to the left, it's actually worked out okay. We've had economic growth, generally, driven by Northwest Arkansas, driven by Jonesboro, driven spottily by Central Arkansas. Unemployment had been low, and we've been able to keep services going by incrementally, gradually drawing down their income tax rates. This, the governor says, justifies the income tax he will call for in a special session later this year because we tightened our belts. Actually, this is, if I understand it, this is largely the result of the fact that we went into a global pandemic and we had wide quarantine, but we didn't quarantine as much as some other states quarantined. And then the federal government started printing trillions, they did, to distribute to the states, directly to state governments, directly to businesses, directly to the people, to prop them up during this period of economic dormancy. And then, so we tightened our belts, yes, but we were being propped up by printed federal money. And then the scientists gave us a vaccine so that by May, everybody was liberated and happy to go back out and restart the economy. So we had tight budgets. We had an artificial propping up by federal money that kept our economy going. And May alone accounted for about a fourth of this surplus. So the only way this is a template for tax increases is if we have a pandemic every year and the federal government prints $1 trillion. That's the only way that applies. So what I'm saying is I hope the debate doesn't break down in that Hutchinson is going to propose continued incrementally drawing down from 5.9 for the top rate to 5.7 to 5.5. I fear it may break down in we ought to do away with it altogether or ought to bring it down more. This 1 year's experience is no basis for any more bold tax reduction policy. And that's how I read all of that, Roby.
I'll throw one more factor in there that should be in the conversation, and that is the fact that Arkansas started collecting online sales taxes as a result of a new law.
Thank you for that. That fortifies and supports my point. The thing is, we've managed, I concede. Yes, Governor Hutchinson, yes. We have managed to draw the taxes down incrementally in what is a pretty responsible way. And we have kept government going. We've been fortunate in that regard. But this year had some one-time curiosities that produced this situation. I'm just saying, let us not say, hey, we're collecting $1 billion more than we need to. Let's really cut the heck out of these taxes. I'm afraid we're going to get around to that with Governor Sanders coming eventually. But it's not the time for that based on this experience. And thank you for that amplification.
All right, let's go to another development in the last week. Common Ground Arkansas, the political organization launched by State Senator Jim Hendren, independent of Gravette, Arkansas, names their board of directors. Some pretty familiar names on there. A lot of Democrats on there, a few Libertarians, and maybe even one former Republican Speaker of the House. Does this movement have any momentum?
Not that I can see, and I hate saying that. But I'm holding out hope, hoping against hope, perhaps. This is a solid group. This is a solid purpose, pragmatic, responsible, non-extreme, common ground governance. That used to be something that we wanted. Now in Arkansas, I fear we consider any of that kind of thing. The majority of the people fear any talk of that kind of thing as liberalism in disguise and anti-Trump, and recoil against it. And I'm afraid that's the climate we're in. But this board, bank presidents, former Republican speaker, corporate lawyers, people with associations with Tyson and Walmart, successful, pragmatically performing mayors, lawyers, bankers. If this was a corporate board, you'd say this is a heck of a company. But the trouble is, this is a board that's going to try to influence Arkansas politics, and that's not a place where business principles apply. Politics is a field of great madness, generally, but especially so in Arkansas right now. I will say this: I think the talk that common ground can produce a third party governor's candidate that could gum up the works for Sarah Sanders, I think that's died down. I do think common ground is going to work more strategically to identify places where local leaders with pragmatic, moderate, center right views could challenge for legislative seats. I think that's where they're going to try to go, to try to begin to change the culture away from some of the extremism to a little bit more of this pragmatic problem solving. I support them in that and hope they're successful. I think that's where we're going to have to look. They're going to have to move incrementally and slowly, I think.
Lastly, Fort Smith gets a big shot in the arm. Last week they learned, the community learned it's going to be the pilot training center for F-16s and F-35s for the foreign military sales, I believe is how that's phrased. Big shot in the arm from an economic perspective for Fort Smith. You know Fort Smith well. What do you think this will do to the Fort Smith region, to the psyche of the region over there, as well as its economy and politics?
Well, I think it's a wonderful thing. Based on what the limited information I have about it, I don't see anything bad about it. Fort Smith, I've long had a sort of a soft spot for Fort Smith. Some years ago, I left the Democrat Gazette and wrote for Don Ray, then Stevens Media, which owned newspapers around the state, one of which was the Times Record in Fort Smith. They also owned paper up the road at the Northwest Prosperity Corridor up from Fayetteville to Bentonville. And it occurred to me over the years that Fort Smith had a strong civic-minded leadership, was a solid city and community on its own, separate from Northwest Arkansas, but was always sort of fighting on its own to sustain itself as a big commercial center for the state in comparison to the Northwest Arkansas explosion, and in comparison to Central Arkansas, and then in comparison to what's been going on in Jonesboro. So I've rooted for them. They've had struggles. They've had their whirlpool problems. They've had other problems. I'm just delighted to see that this is happening, because Fort Smith's entirely too politically conservative for my personal taste, but I always found it to be a fine place that was working hard to say, hey, we're here too, and we're not bad, and so good for Fort Smith. I hope this is a true shot in the arm.
John Brummett is a political columnist for the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. His columns can be found at arkansasonline.com. He spoke with Roby Brock from our partner, Talk Business and Politics. They discuss more in that conversation, including the Biden administration's infrastructure plan. You can find that part of the conversation at talkbusiness.net.